Good morning, WQBX audience. It's great to have you here with us today here at 104.9. We're so excited to be able to share with you Unscripted today, which is our program that we do on a weekly basis, talking about different things that are going on in the community that churches are doing, that ministries are doing, exposing you to what the kingdom of God looks like, what it's actually doing in our communities from all the way out to Edmore to down to Saginaw, up to Mount Pleasant and Clare, and all the way down to St. John. So we cover a very, very large area, and we're doing our best to get different ministries, churches involved in this broadcast to expose you, the community, to what is actually happening. And there are just so many powerful, wonderful things that are taking place. Last week, we had Renewed Restoration with us, and they were sharing about some of the things that they're doing and their vision. Before that, Sue Stack was with us with Love, Inc., and we had a great broadcast. Pastor Jut Darren from Church of Christ there in St. Louis. So we've had a lot of different folks on here, and it's just been excellent, the response that we're getting back from people saying, This is really important, and it really is effectual. It's accomplishing what we're desiring, and that is exposing people to what is actually going on. You know, we hear so much in our news a lot of times, and even in our communities and our newspapers, that it's not really great news, but there's a lot of really great things that are taking place behind the scenes that may never make the front page of the local newspaper or end up on the one of the channels for television, but there are great things that are taking place, and we're just really excited for the opportunity to be able to share that with you. Today is Palm Sunday, which is the celebration of Christ entering into Israel, or into Jerusalem, excuse me, and the triumphal entry that it is called in history. And so we're excited today about Palm Sunday and celebrating what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. We also want to mention to you that our ministerial group that meets in the Breckenridge, Merrill, Wheeler, and Hemlock area, that we have an annual Good Friday service. And we're going to be on having that service here coming up on Friday, and it'll be at 1 p.m. And it's actually going to be where we are today. And so I'll let our guests tell you a little bit more about where their church is. But if you're looking for a Good Friday service to be a part of, this is a great one. We have all our ministerial group participates in it. Various churches that participate in it, and we always have such an excellent time. We have a great group of ministers in our area, and I think you would be really blessed if you come out and visit us, and we'd love to hear from you anyways if you do come, because you heard it here on the radio broadcast. Be sure to let us know that you were listening here on WQBX. Well, I'm sitting across the table from Pastor Lyle McCoon, who's new to our area, not so new, but is newer to the area and has been here for a while. And Pastor McCoon, say hello to everybody.
Hello. Yeah, I've been here since May.
Since May.
We moved up here from Indianapolis, where we were pastoring down there. We're actually from Michigan, but we have been out of state for 28 years.
Wow.
We lived in Illinois, Kentucky, and then Indiana. So we're back home. My wife actually graduated from Bullet Creek High School.
Okay.
So she's got family in this area.
And, sure.
Nice to be back in Michigan.
So in all those areas that you lived in, were you involved in some kind of ministry in those areas?
We were. Yeah. I went to Greenville College in Illinois, took a church in Illinois, decided to go back to school, went to Asbury Theological Seminary, which took us to Kentucky.
Right.
Turned 3 years of school there into a 10-year period.
Yeah.
And then we moved up to Indiana to do ministry. And we both have, our parents are still alive. They're here in Michigan.
Okay.
Health-wise, you know, they're getting older. And
yeah,
so we want to be closer to them. And so we're back here.
That's awesome. And so how did you end up in Wheeler?
So we
you're my neighbor here in Wheeler, right?
We are, yeah. You're the closest church to us. So Wheeler Free Methodist Church is part of the Eastern Michigan Conference.
Okay.
In the Free Methodist Church, we have three different conferences in the state of Michigan, and we didn't really necessarily care where we were in Michigan. We just wanted to be closer to our parents. But this was where God led us, and so we're happy to be here. We live in Breckenridge. I work in another job in St. Louis that we'll talk about a little
right
bit later. But we're in the Wheeler Free Methodist Church. We are the only church left in the village of Wheeler. You guys are just outside of Wheeler.
Right.
And it's amazing that our little church has survived when so many have not.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. And I remember when Pastor Ron Fredericks told us that you were coming to the area, and they said, we got a guy, because I know they had been like searching and trying to make this work. And they said, we've got a guy that's coming in, and he's just ready to give his all for the Lord and be in this area. And so we just thought that was so exciting to have. It breaks our hearts when we drive by churches that have closed up. And, you know, we get that, you know, sometimes that things happen in churches, go through attrition and different things, but it's so awesome that you guys are here.
Yeah, the Wheeler Church has been here over 100 years.
Wow.
In Gratiot County, they were in two other locations. They merged into this central location of Wheeler. But we've been here at this location for 75 years this year.
Wow, 75 years. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And have you been in a special series during the Lent season, or are you?
So we started to read through the Bible in a year as a church.
Yeah.
We started that January 1st. And so then the sermons are actually covering something from the material that we have read together. Awesome. And then our Wednesday night Bible study, we get together and you have a chance to ask any question you want, you've ever wanted to know about from that section we're reading together.
Wow.
So it's just kind of an open discussion
and
period.
You always have the right answer.
I sometimes say the answer, I have no idea. But yeah, it's been very interesting. We've covered almost the first five books of the Bible. We're through Matthew and Mark and into Luke now.
That is awesome.
It's been exciting. Perplexing and sometimes boring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
I always we do a read through the Bible in the church, and by the time we get to Leviticus, I just start hearing all Pastor, oh my goodness, how do you get through this? Yeah. And, you know, just all the rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be a little overwhelming as you look at all of that. So, how have you found? I know you said you're from Michigan originally. How have you found you were in Kentucky, you were in Illinois? Did you say Indiana? Yeah. So how have you found the people in Michigan?
It's been great to be back. I've always worn Detroit Lions gear, Detroit Tigers gear. It's nice to go everywhere and see that and not be the only one wearing that.
Right.
It took me years to stop saying pop, because soda was what they called it in all those places.
Right.
And now I have the opposite problem. I'm trying to retrain my brain that it's okay to say pop, not soda.
That's funny. Yeah, I run into a little bit of that dilemma because I'm from Ohio, so I'm an Ohio State fan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were fans of the Pittsburgh Steelers too. Of course, we're loyal to Michigan State and to the Lions, but, you know, just all you have the stuff, and those are your teams. Yep. And so that's not always looked upon favorably wherever you are. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, so it's probably really good. Works good as soon as I cross the border, but it doesn't work so great here in our state. So you're here pastoring the church and all the work that you're doing here. And you're working with in St. Louis. Talk a little bit about the work that you're doing there.
Sure. So I'm only part-time here at the church. We're a very small church. We're a pretty conservative church, theologically, as well as our worship style.
Sure.
You know, we do some hymns and choruses. It's pretty laid back.
Yep.
We're a smaller church. So, of course, they can't pay a full-time pastor,
right?
Which was one of the reasons they didn't have a pastor for a few years. So I got a job at the Office of Human Services, OHS.
Yes.
It's in St. Louis, and it is a thrift store and food pantry.
Okay.
It's an interesting model because Gratiot County has 10 food pantries.
Right.
We're one of them. We're the only one that has its own source of revenue, which comes from our thrift store side of things.
Okay.
The thrift store is everything we sell in the thrift store is donated by the public.
Right.
So it's amazing. We have great public support. Everything on the shelf has come in through our sort room and donation center, and people are very generous with that. And then we turn around and sell that at a very discounted price.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, thrift stores, typically you'll go to a Salvation Army store or a Goodwill and maybe spend $5 on a shirt. At OHS, it's a fraction of that cost.
Wow.
So we have hardly anything that's over a dollar. And so people are able to, even if they're very poor, they're able to find lots of good bargains there. We have free stuff that we're always giving away as well.
Okay.
So then we also have the second part of that is this food pantry.
Okay.
So you can come in for food. We ask no questions. We don't require any verification of income, driver's license, none of that.
Okay.
You say you want food, we'll give you food.
Okay.
And you can get that once a month. And that is paid for by the donations that we then sell at the thrift store.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing when you talked about this at our ministerial group, that because it's called the Office of Human Services, everybody thinks it's government funded. And it's not government funded. It's funded through the thrift store, basically.
Yeah, we get confused with the Department of Health and Human Services quite a bit. And people even will say their name wrong as DHS,
yes.
OHS, very similar sounding. If you've ever been to our store, we're in downtown St. Louis. It kind of looks like a government building. It doesn't look like a store necessarily.
Right.
So there is some confusion there. But yeah, we help people with food. We also help with financial assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So people sometimes will need a gas card to get. We had some people stop in today. I've got an appointment in Lansing and an appointment in Mount Pleasant to go to two different doctors this week. And I can't afford to get there.
Right.
So we'll help them with gas cards. People are behind in their rent, behind in their utilities. We get a lot of, I'm about to have a shutoff notice from the city. Can you help? And again, the money that is donated to us and the money that we sell through the thrift store pays for that.
Okay. And how? And talk to us a little bit about, are you seeing a lot of poverty, a lot of need?
You know,
since COVID, things are, my understanding is things have really gotten a lot worse for people now. It's starting to get pretty
well,
bad.
Well, COVID masked a lot of issues because there was such a need. The government recognized everyone needs help. And so there was a lot of government programs that came out during COVID that have since expired.
Okay.
And so now we're kind of back to the pre-COVID days of there's less assistance out there for people.
Okay.
So we have seen our numbers skyrocket this year.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of our food through the USDA, through Feeding America,
okay.
specifically through the Greater Lansing Food Bank. And they reported the last quarter of 2023, they served a record number of meals to people.
Wow.
So it's not just a Gratiot County thing. It's all over the state, probably the whole country. But there's a lot of people in need. A lot of people who cannot, even with the unemployment rate being low, people are able to find jobs, but maybe not the jobs that can pay for high rent or high mortgage payments. And so they're falling behind.
Now, how many food banks did you say are in
10.
Gratiot County?
Yeah, 10
food banks.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then in addition, there's mobile food banks that will come to Gratiot County. And there's a couple, they call them food cabinets that are kind of self-serve.
Right.
You can donate stuff to the cabinet. You can take stuff out of the cabinet. But yeah, there's a lot of resources out there. A lot of people don't know about OHS or maybe not even like our ministerial association that Pastor Richard and I are in. We have a food pantry that operates out of the Breckenridge United Methodist Church.
Right.
Again, people may not realize that any Tuesday you can come and get food.
Yeah, there are a lot of services that are available in the county. I noticed that there are some churches that do meals for people, that do senior meals for people. I'm seeing a lot of that that's happening. And, you know, it's amazing that that people still to this day, there are people that are living out of their vehicles that— there are homeless folks here in Gratiot County, and then you know, and then of course we reach to Saginaw and out to Edmore, and that's a. There are a lot of home people that are just really struggling to make it right now.
Yeah, the state of Michigan considers Gratiot County to be a rural, impoverished county.
Really,
and one of the stats I've read recently said that we were. And I don't know how they figured this up, but the poorest county in the state of Michigan.
Right.
So there is a lot of need. Coming from Indianapolis, of course, homelessness looks different in Indianapolis where there are homeless camps. There's a huge number of homeless people. People in rural counties might not see the homelessness, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
We're maybe able to hide it more. People don't think that there are people and homeless. But the Hope Center, which is in St. Louis, they have a waiting list. They always have a huge waiting
list.
Oh,
really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we're going to be interviewing them soon. You know, we had our superintendent from the schools come a couple of years ago, and he had shared with us about this great need in the community. And he says, and it's masked, like you said. Mm-hmm. And so he said that by definition, that if a family has to move in with another family, that if they have children, that they are considered homeless because they don't own their own home. They're having mm-hmm. to live mm-hmm. with someone. So that could even be a daughter that went through a divorce that had to bring her kids into your house to live there because they could not make it on their own. Yeah. And so he just shared how big that is in the community. And it is, it's masked. It's not something, you know, we typically think of homeless, like we go to Chicago and they're sitting on the corner,
right,
or the guys down at Lansing that stand out by the exits and ask for help. But there is a lot of need that is here in our area.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that we see is people who will stay as long as they can in a rental situation and let the bills pile up until there's no possible way that they can pay them off.
Yeah.
And then they just disappear from that rental place.
Oh boy.
And then try to get into another one and repeat the cycle because they don't have enough money to support themselves.
Right. Yeah. And I know that our ministry here locally, that we've actually had to, a good friend of mine that lost everything, went through a divorce, and he was living in his van in the wintertime. Mm. And so we were just helping him get gas to keep the heat on in his van. Yeah. And had nothing. I mean, I think there was a program that was available that he could get classes. And so he started taking some classes, and he actually got a really good job. And but I've never forgotten that, you know, this was a person, he's a good person. And it wasn't a lazy person, yeah, just sitting around doing nothing, but he just lost, everything fell apart, yeah, in his life really fast.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how quick things can spiral, yeah, for people.
Well, we even had recently a business owner who came in because they were behind in their bills, could not pay their light bill, their gas bill. And they own their own business, but times are that way where you're not making enough profit from that you can't afford.
Right.
So the need is out there. It might be harder to see, but it's definitely out there.
Yeah, and I appreciate what Love Inc. is doing too. We talked a little bit with Sue Stack a couple weeks ago and how that they're trying to help people find their way out mm-hmm. of poverty to stay out,
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
It's a little tougher.
It's definitely needed. It is. One of the cool things, too, in Gratiot County, because we're a smaller county, is that we have agencies that are willing and able to partner with each other.
Yeah.
So sometimes we will have people that will come. OHS has a cap of so much money per household per year,
yeah,
and most agencies do. But we will partner with the government,
yeah,
with 8CAP, with Gratiot Emergency Housing,
sure,
with the local ministerial association, and then what we can do and pool those funds to get them what they need.
Right.
When one agency alone could not do it.
Right. Yeah. And I always have appreciated that about you, Pastor Lyle, that you recognizing that what you do, but there's a lot of other people trying to do mm-hmm. similar things of what you're doing with food pantries and different things. And you are totally supportive, yeah, of all of that.
Yeah.
We need all of it.
Yeah. I know you talked to Rick from Renew, and Rick, he operates a thrift store. When they came here, I don't know if he had shared this, but he said they didn't want to compete with the existing thrift stores.
Right.
So they kind of went a little higher end.
Yep.
But again, we partner with him. We work with him on a regular basis. They just donated some amazing shelving units that we already have in our store.
Wow.
And similar with the church side of things, where my first Sunday when we moved in May, we actually went to your,
yeah,
church.
Right. Yeah, you visited.
I thought, well, this is probably the only chance I'll have on a Sunday morning to get to go to Amazing Grace.
Right.
Because, you know, Sundays I'm a little busy.
Yeah.
But we went there, and I came back to our church the next week, and someone said, how's the competition?
Oh, yeah,
and,
right.
And I said, I immediately said, they're not our competition.
That's right.
We're in this together.
Yes.
And we're partners in ministry. I said, they're our closest allies.
Yeah.
We may be different theologically, but we worship the same God.
Absolutely.
And we know who is the source of ultimate freedom. So
yeah,
I tend to look at that both sides, with the church and with OHS, that there are partners. We're all in this together and trying to help toward the same goals.
Yeah. And one of our guys on our team, Omar, told me that you've talked with him about coming and sharing. And
yeah, next month he's going to preach for me. He said it's been several years since he preached here, but
he's a fireball.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
that'll be a lot of fun. So let me ask you: you do all the? I mean, I realize working with helping the needy can be a really tough thing to do, especially when we have limited resources that we can. So I want to add, my question is to you, Pastor Lyle, what's your why? Why do you do this? Why are you doing that? I know it's a job, but why do you do it? Money can't be enough. I mean, so.
I love it. I love what I do. I've told my wife, I love giving kids toys.
Yeah.
And she was like, I bet you do. So we'll have kids that will come into the store. And anytime I see a little kid, we have a little free section of toys.
Sure.
We have free books as well. And so I'll grab something and walk over to it and just to see their face light up. I just think it's amazing that I have been given a gift to be able to give that to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. So
both at the church and with OHS, it's a pleasure to get to do what I do. I was working at a retail store before OHS.
Okay.
And that was fine. I was meeting people in the public. But getting to help people is so much more in line with the mission of the church. The Free Methodist Church has always been about helping the poor and the needy.
Sure.
One of the reasons we're called free. So we're Free Methodists.
Right.
Some people ask, well, what's the difference between a United Methodist and a Free Methodist? It goes back 100 and some years, 1860. And one of the things was that at that time, not now, but at that time, the United Methodist Church was selling pews.
Right.
They were renting pews out. So it was almost like going to a ball game. The better you were able to afford, the better seat you got.
Okay.
And so one of the reasons the Free Methodist Church started was to help the poor, to say that's not right. You know, we need to be for everyone.
Sure.
So it's kind of a cool thing to get to do in my professional life.
Yes.
What I get to do at the church too is to help the poor.
Yeah.
To work with the poor people, which is another reason I love our thrift store, because again, our prices are way better than anywhere else. And even selling stuff at that is a ministry to the poor.
Right.
So people can find, sometimes we get brand new things donated. And so someone can find a brand new pair of pants for $2, for
$3. Wow.
And for that, you know, for them, maybe that wasn't possible.
Sure. You know, I had shared with Rick and also with Sue that, you know, the thrift store part for me, growing up in poverty, my mom raising four kids on $5,000 a year, you know, as a waitress, as a server in a restaurant, and she needed a lot of help. I mean, there just wasn't, and I mean, this was a woman that worked every night, left our house she would leave at 6 in the evening to go to work, wouldn't come home until 3 a.m. in the morning. And then it would stay awake to get us up for school and then try to sleep while we were at school and then rinse and repeat every single day.
Yep.
And, you know, just to try to put enough food on the table for four kids.
Yeah.
And so things like this become so vital to our communities and the stories that of what people are going through and what they're dealing with, and this to be, it has to bring great joy to your heart to see that you're helping these people through these difficulties.
You know, there's so much need out there, but there's so many generous people too.
Yeah.
People that will go out of their way every week to drop by and donate something. It's like, it's like they look through their house and think, what can I give away this week?
Right.
I do want to say, you know, there are sadly, of course, people that die. And a lot of families are stuck with this issue of what do I do with their stuff?
Right.
It's sad to report that probably at least twice a month, we'll get someone that will come and say, this was my aunt's stuff, and we didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
But there was a gentleman who donated some great stuff just in the last week, and he said, well, I just saw your thing on Facebook about donating. Otherwise, I was going to throw this stuff away.
Yeah.
You know, don't throw your stuff away. You can minister to people just by your belongings, just to give those away, whether it's Salvation Army, Goodwill, our type of place, but you can minister to people through your abundance. What is your trash might be someone else's blessing.
Yeah,
just an amazing blessing.
Absolutely. So Do you have volunteers that are working with you?
We do. It's all volunteer.
Okay.
We have 20 to 30 volunteers.
Wow.
They're all just there out of the kindness of their heart. We always need more volunteers. We get a lot of, our hours are not great for working people.
Sure, because they're during the daytime,
it is.
Right?
It's in the mornings, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I say, well, if I had more volunteers, we could have Saturday hours or something like that, which may be coming in the spring. Because there are people that would love to shop there, but just can't get there during business hours.
Yeah, we ran into that a little bit when we had here in Wheeler, before you came, we had a thrift store in the food pantry up the road here and in the old school. And so we would and people were always like, we would do Tuesday, Thursday. They're like, well, can we add another day?
Yeah.
And I said, well, if we get more people, we can add another, but we're not adding another day. It's just too overwhelming.
Yeah.
And they had people that sorted and, you know, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of, I saw some of what Rick and his wife go through sorting through things.
Yeah.
So if someone wanted to get involved with OHS, tell them how they can do that.
Sure. They just need to stop by the store when we're open, again, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 9 to noon. And there's a small application to fill out. We're not necessarily a volunteer agency where you could be like, well, do you need someone next Thursday?
Right.
It would be an every Thursday kind of thing.
Right.
Which is why our average age of our volunteer is 71.
Yeah.
Because it's largely retired people.
Sure.
That just love to give and love to help. We find that a lot of our even shoppers, I think, come there just for the social aspect.
Absolutely.
You know, getting to see other people, getting to see the volunteers, especially getting to hang out with others, to be with people where the rest of the week I'm just at home.
Yeah. Now, can people donate financially to
what
you all are doing?
Yeah.
Now, how would they do that? Is there a website or some
We're not equipped to do any kind of electronic payment, but they can always mail a check
to OHS in St. Louis.
One of the neat things I forgot to mention is that OHS was started by a ministerial association.
Really?
So it started all the way back in 1981. Five churches got together and they said, it's kind of silly that we're all separately operating benevolence ministries, trying to help people. Let's pool our resources and get together. And so they hired a director, Jim Soucy, and they,
I knew Jim,
they just have done amazing work since then. So
Jim was a great guy. Everybody knew Jim.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's been a good, it started by the churches and it's still run by the churches.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I want to talk about your church for just a minute.
Yeah.
So talk about how people can come visit Wheeler. When is your service times and where are you?
Okay. So we are in the large metropolis of Wheeler. Wheeler's not even technically a village. We're just a spot on the map.
I don't know what it is. Yeah.
It's a
flashing light.
we used to be a much bigger place. We're not so big anymore. We are two blocks north of M46 on Wheeler Road. So you have to slow down. Watch out for those cops.
Right.
You have to slow down to 45 and you might as well turn. There's a giant sign that says Free Methodist Church with an arrow. We have Bible study at 9:30 on Sunday mornings.
Okay.
We have a worship service at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. And then once a month we have potluck, pitch-in dinner, great food, lots of fellowship.
Great.
And then we also have Bible study and a prayer time Wednesdays at 3:00 is Bible study and 4:00 is our prayer service. And again, just a great time. You know, we're very open. We're very low key. And if you've got questions about things, you can bring them.
Excellent.
You can feel very welcome. It's the kind of church where everyone pretty much knows each other, but they're very excited when new people come. We're not very formal, so you don't have to dress. You know, no one wears a suit and tie.
Sure.
I don't think, other than funerals, I've ever seen a suit in this place. Maybe a wedding, but not for service. And it's just a great environment.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And as we said, we're having our Good Friday service here, which we're excited to do.
Yep, 1:00 this Friday. We'd love to have people come. And even if you don't know anything about Jesus, it's a great time to learn, like, what's this Jesus thing about?
Yeah.
Because what we're going to do is kind of go through his last day.
Yeah.
And what he did and what that means for you and I.
That's awesome.
But, of course, spoiler alert, that's not the end of the story.
That's right.
Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, where we celebrate the fact that he rose from the dead.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Pastor McCoon. Appreciate
thank
your
you.
Time and,
yep,
appreciate and all that
it.
You're doing. I just want to recommend to all of you in the WQBX audience, they're looking for a great church. Wheeler Free Methodist is a great one. Pastor Lyle McCoon is a great pastor. And I know that you'll be tremendously blessed just to stop by and to visit them and to check out what they're doing. We're just grateful for this opportunity that we have to be with you here every week. Thank you for listening in today. We hope that this program has been a blessing to you. I encourage you to get involved in the OHS there in St. Louis. It's a great opportunity to serve. If you're not working during those hours and you're looking for something to do, this is a great thing that you could get involved with. Until the next time we're together, we just pray God's blessing upon you. We'll be right back here next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning at 9 a.m. God bless.